want to start the next sugya. I think the next couple of sugyas are gonna take it. Next couple of dapim that I really want to do inside daf yutes and daf chaf. There's a ton of halacha lamdus. There's we could spend a good deal of time, and probably the entire shloshim yom between Purim and Pesach, we could spend on daf yutes and daf chaf. In yeshivas, certain yeshivas they spend a lot more time on it, but. Our derech is we try to keep things moving. So two dapim in a month is a slow month, but that's going to be the goal over the next couple of months to really try the next couple of weeks to really try to take a look at what's going on over here. Daf Yotes, Daf Chaf. Thank you very much. So turn Daf Yotes. I know a lot of guys are not up to it inside yet, so you haven't seen it. So we'll go through the Gemara carefully. We'll go through it together. And we'll try to analyze. I'm going to apologize in advance, as yesterday was a fairly busy day, so I didn't really have that much time to prepare. So we're going to learn through together. We'll learn b'chavrusa, b'chabura. So says the Mishnah, Daf Yutas Amud Aleph. Bakol Kosvim. Okay, we got through the first 18 dapim, 17 dapim in the Masechta, and essentially what we learned is that you need to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. We learned that in the 17 dapim of one very long way to say that you got to be mekayim a get. We're done with that. Now we have to write. We're learning gittin. So in order to write a get, what do you need? You need a piece of paper and you need a pen. You need ink and you need paper. So we have to learn what's called ink, what's called paper, and then once you have ink and a paper, what do you need to do? You need to be kosev. You need to write the ink onto the paper. So what's called? Kosev. That's what the Amud Aleph is basically about. What's ink, what's paper, and what's kosev? Now, kosev is not only a halacha that relates to Hilchas Gittin. Kosev is something that plays a very critical role in another area of halacha. Where is kosev very critical? What? By Megillah, by Stam, by in general. Any Stam, any Sefer Nevi'im. What? By Ksuba, the din of Ksuba. No, that's just like a shtar. I guess like any shtar, but that's really get is like any shtar in that sense. But there's something, where's Kosev really? Where do you have a din of Kosev? You got to think a little further away from Gittin. Think a little bit. What? That's Stam, that's the same as Megillah. One of the Lamates Melachos of Shabbos. Stam is Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzos. Kosev and Shabbos, right? Melachos Shabbos. One of the 39 Melachos of Shabbos is Kosev. So our Gemara is actually going to make that sushtal, it's going to make that comparison between ksiva by a get and ksiva by Shabbos. Is it the same gedder? Whatever we call kosev by one is kosev by the other. We know by Shabbos, kosev is one of those malachos that comes with a twin. There are a lot of malachos that come with a partner, I don't know, a twin or an opposite. There are a lot of malachos that come with opposites, that come with the counter of that malacha, such as, no, give me examples. Where are malachas that come with an opposite, that come in pairs? Bona and Soser, that's one example. What? Oh, good. Right, Topher and Matir. You said Bona and Soser. Kosher and Matir, we have Havara and Mechaba, right? Mavir and Mechaba. And you have Kosev and Mochek, right? You write and you Zoreya and Tolesh. Right in the ground, you tell it from it. Good. So you have a lot of malachos that come with some sort of twin. So kosev comes with a twin of mochek. Now mochek is defined by kosev. It's not just that they happen to be opposites of each other. That kosev is when you write, mochek is when you erase. You can't violate mochek without thinking about kosev. What do I mean by that? The definition of the malacha of mochek is not just to erase. If you stop erase letters, it's not a violation of mochek. It's only mochek when it's mochek al menas lichtov. That when you're erasing, in order that you should leave space so that you could write something else in its place. If you're mochek in a way that doesn't leave any possibility of kosev, well then it's not mochek. Mochek is only when it's al menas lichtov. Good? So now let's see the Mishnah. The Mishnah is only going to deal with what's ink and what's paper. Says the Mishnah. Bakol kosvim b'dio b'sam b'sikra b'komus b'kankantum. You're allowed to write with anything, like dio ink, sam ink, sikra ink, komos ink, kankantum ink, whatever those mean. And anything that lasts, anything that leaves a lasting impression, you could violate, you could write a get with, because that's considered valid ink. Aim kosvin, what you cannot write again with the ink that's invalid is lo b'mashkin, v'lo b'meperos, v'lo b'koldav v'shena miskayim. You can't use fruit juices because that doesn't leave a lasting impression. You can only write a get with an ink that leaves a lasting impression. That's rule number one in the Mishnah. Why does the Mishnah give me all these examples? A good cash of the Gemara will deal with it. But rule number one is ink. The halach of the ink is that it needs to be lasting ink. If it's not lasting ink, you cannot write a get with it. Hashtos. If it's not lasting ink, it's not a violation of the halach of Kosev and Shabbos either. That has to be something that's lasting. Now that's clear. It's clear by get, it's clear by Shabbos, that you need lasting. The definition of lasting is not as clear. What do we mean by lasting ink? That it has to last. How long does it have to last for? So we're going to have to discuss that. Is the geder the same by Shabbos as it is by get? Meaning by Shabbos, logically, by Chsvara, just off the top of your head, because we haven't really gone through this sugya at all. By Shabbos, what would you think would be the definition of how long does it have to last in order for it to be called lasting ink? Till the end of Shabbos, right? If it lasts, or till next Shabbos, whatever, something like that, something Shabbos related. Right, it's either till the end of this Shabbos, till the beginning of next Shabbos, for the length of an entire Shabbos. Maybe it's 24 hours because that's how long Shabbos lasts. Even if I write in the last hour of the Shabbos, something to do with Shabbos. Right, that's going to be kayama. Ksav shel kayama comes to Shabbos by a get. If I write a get with ink, I'm a sofer get, and I write a get with ink that only lasts till the end of Shabbos. Let's say. Are we as inclined to say that that would be a ksav shel kayama for get? Pashtos is not. Why not? Yeah, it's a process. Get is a process. So you would think that it would that it's got to be something a little more lasting. Not only does it take time to give it to her, very often the get is used as a shtar raya afterwards to prove that she's divorced. So, you know, it's going to be very hard to do that if it disappears, if the ink isn't there. So the inclination that we'd have is that it shouldn't be the same definition of kayama, which is interesting because the same inks that are kosher and the, you know, that you can use to violate the melacha of Shabbos are the same inks you can use for get pashtos. Again, we'll have to see. And the gedarim of what's called the maisa of ksiva is the same as we'll see in the Gemara. Right, but yet when it comes to what's called shel kayama, we're going to have to see if that's the same as well. Fine, so that's halacha number one of the Mishnah. In order for ink to be called ink, it's got to last. Halacha number two, al hakol kosvin. So what's this about? This isn't about the ink. Now we're moving on to parchment. So what can you write on? So it says Mishnah, anything. Ala shel zayis, you can write on an olive leaf, says Rashi, telusha. Only if it's not attached to the tree. Attached to the tree, you can't write in it. Why not? So we had this all the way at the beginning of the Masechta. Pasuk says, "Because of the sefer krisus nasan biyada." You write a sefer krisus and then you give it to her. So it has to be something that, after writing, the only thing left to do is giving. But if it's attached to a tree, you got something else you got to do. You got to pull it off the tree. So it's mishen mechusar ela ksiva nasina yatzazeh that it's mechusar ksiva tlisha nasina. So it's got to be detached. Any chiddush in saying that you cry to get it on Allah shel zayis, on an olive leaf, an olive branch? Meaning, why is it any different than a piece of paper? Why would the Mishnah Dafka single out Allah shel zayis? You're even allowed to write a get on this. So what's one halach we know about the ink? That the ink needs to be lasting, right? What about the paper? You know what Allah shel zayis is? What they call biodegradable. Very quickly it's biodegradable. Once it's tallish from the tree, it starts to dry up. And eventually, leaves dry up, they crumble, and they, right? And yet we're saying that's okay. It's kosher, right? You have to use lasting ink, but you can write it on olah shel zayis, apparently. So we'll have to see, is there a dinsh of kayama by the parchment also? Meaning, the din of kayama, is that a din in ink, or is it a din in the get? If it's din in the ink, I understand. So the ink has to be shel kayama, even though the paper is not really shel kayama. If it's din in the get, the paper needs to be shel kayama also. So is the olah shel zayis shel kayama? Apparently. So that would help us define what kayama is. I haven't learned the sugi either. I have no idea where we're going with any of this. But just, you know, thinking out loud. Says the Gemara Vayter, the Mishnah rather, you can not only write an olah shel zayis, but like keren shel para v'nosin la sapara. You can write on a keren shel para and just give her the para. If you want to win the most creative get contest. So you could write on the horn of a cow and just give her the cow. Here's your get. Okay? Send, I don't know what kind of message you're sending her. Whatever. Al yad shel eved nosin la sa'eved, or on the hand of an eved and give her the eved. Also very unique, very interesting halacha. Why is that a chiddush? Yad shel eved nosin la sa'eved. You have it right in your hand? Where is it? I don't see it. What? Oh, good. So it's we're not supposed to tattoo. Right? So what about writing? So when you write a phone number down on your hand, you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to write a phone number down on your hand. But I must have at some point when I was a kid written it, and it's not there anymore. In fact, it doesn't take very long for it to disappear. You sweat, your body just, the skin peels itself off. It goes away. It just goes away after a while. Right? We're always shedding layers of skin. It doesn't feel like it, but we are. It's the way the body works, right? So it's not going to last very long when you just wrote in the outermost surface of your skin. You just wrote the little ink. It's not going to last very long. And yet you can write in the Yad Shel Eved, and that's going to... Apparently, that's either we don't need the actual ksiva to be Shel Kayama, we just need to use ink that's Shel Kayama, or we have to define Shel Kayama a little differently. Meaning we have to define Shel Kayama in a very it doesn't take much to be Shel Kayama. You could write on the Eved. Or we're talking about tattooing him, which opens up a whole new can of worms. Are you allowed to tattoo an Eved? So we're gonna have to discuss that as well. We'll have to see. Rav Yossi Aglili says, nah, you can't write on those last two things I don't like. You can't write on living things like cows and avadim. And also, you can't write on food. Why not? Okay, so I'm sure we'll see in the Gemara why not. Meaning, what exactly is the chisaron in food, and the chisaron in something that's yeshbo ruach chayim? Right, it's going to take a while till we get there, but okay, the Gemara ultimately will get there on daf chaf al famid beis. Right, my time is Rav Yossi Aglili, so he darshens pesukim that it's pasuk says because of the sefer krisus. So the Kasav La teaches me Mikol Makom, not just the Sefer, but anything. So what does Sefer tell me? Sefer teaches me something that has that's like a Sefer in that it's not alive and it's not food. So whatever you write to get on has to be similar to a Sefer. Sefer means parchment, and what's unique about parchment is that parchment is not alive, and parchment is also not food. You know what else is unique about parchment? I don't know, probably 1,000 things that you could use to describe parchment. It's not alive, it's not food, it also doesn't have brown hair. I don't know, so you can't write on anything that ever had brown hair? I mean, what does that mean? Why do we dafka pick those qualities of a sefer to describe what you're not allowed to, what you're allowed to and not allowed to write on? So that's a very, very important question. Or for instance, can you write on stone? Right, to get on a piece of stone? Why not, right? It says you can write on anything as long as it's not Ruach Chaim, so it's not alive. And as long as it's not food. You can't eat stones, and they're not alive, right? Is that like Sefer, though? What's Sefer? Sefer's Klaf. Where does Klaf come from? An animal. So Klaf at least once was alive. So maybe we should learn from Sefer that it has to be something that once was alive. Now, why do we choose these two qualities? Dafka is something that's not alive now, and it's not food. Okay, so the Bali Atosis deal with that already on Daf Chafal from Beis. Be'ezras Hashem, one day we'll get there. Okay, so basically what the Mishnah taught us is two halachos. You have to write a get with ink. Definition of ink is something that lasts. And you have to write with parchment. Definition of parchment is something that's not mechubar. And machlokes, whether it's allowed to be on living things. Good? That's the Mishnah. The first little piece of the Gemara, the first few lines, all it really does is it translates the terminology of the Mishnah. All these different inks tells us what they are. Of note is just that when we use the term sakarta, sikra, which means sakarta, it's a red dye, it's a red ink. You might have thought that, can you imagine getting Aliyah, the Sefer Torah, opening up the Sefer and finding that the ink is red? You probably would not want to make a brach on such a Sefer Torah, right? But a get, apparently, you're allowed to write with red ink. Okay, so that's one of the things we learned, that the red ink is okay. And that's important for the next discussion in the Gemara. Talks about shoe black, whatever. Good. Take a look now, a few lines into the Gemara. Itmar. See where we are? It's about 6-7 lines into the Gemara after the end of the Mishnah. Last one line is Diyo. We're in the middle of that line. Itmar, third to last word. Itmar. Hamavri Diyo al Gabi Sikra B'Shabbos. Now we're leaving Gittin and we're talking Hilcha Shabbos now. A person puts Diyo al Gabi Sikra. Diyo is black ink, Sikra is red ink. So he colors with black ink over red ink. So he wrote. Let's say, how many letters you have to write in Shabbos, Bichayev? 2 letters. Good. So let's say that, why Dafka 2 letters? So Achronim explains, 2 letters is the shortest Hebrew word. You can't have a Hebrew word of any meaning with only 1 letter. Right? It's not like English where you have the word A, which is spelled A. But in Hebrew, there's no such thing. You only have to have 2 letters. So if, let's say a person has 2 letters written in Hebrew. Let's say he has the name Dun or Gad. The Mishnayos and Shabbos give the example, right? He has the name written out Dun, and then in red, and then he traces over it in black on Shabbos. So is he chayiv, and what's he chayiv? There's kosev, there's mochek. So is he chayiv for both? Neither one, the other? Says the Gemara. Rabbi Yochum and Shlokesh Rami Tervayu chayiv shtayim. If he wrote with black over red, he's chayiv 2 malachas. Achas mishum kosev, yachas mishum mochek. He wrote with the black and he erased the red. So he violated kosev and mochek. Now again, keep in mind, in order to violate mochek, it has to be mochek almanas lichtov. Where's the almanas lichtov over here? Yes, you erased the red. Where's the almanas lichtov? Well, it's better than almanas lichtov. You were erasing the red as you were actually being kosev on top of it. So it's even stronger than almanas lichtov. You're actually being kosev at the time. Okay, so that's pretty clear cut. Yimi chayiv shtayim, one for kosev, one for mochek. Let me just mention this now. Why does it mochek have to be almanas lichtov? Why can't mochek just be mochek? So there is a concept in Hilchos Shabbos called melechas machsheves. Melechas machsheves is a very broad concept. In order for someone to be chayiv midor raisa from melech on Shabbos, it has to be a purposefully constructive act. An act done with a sense of purpose and constructive purpose. Constructive purpose on Shabbos. There are no good English words. Those are the best English words I can come up with to describe Melechas Machsheves. But Melechas Machsheves is the reason that if you do, let's say, a Davar Sheino Miskaven, and it's Mutar on Shabbos. I did the act, but I wasn't purposely being constructive. I wasn't doing anything on purpose. Davar Sheino Miskaven. Or, for instance, Melechas Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. It lacked a certain sense of purpose because I was doing it for a different purpose than it was done in the Mishkan. So therefore I'm potter. Or for instance, mekalkel. I do something in a destructive way. So it lacked that sense of constructive purposefulness. Because I'm doing it in a destructive way. So if a person does mochek, shelo al menas lichtov, there are 2 ways, theoretically, you can understand why it's not a chiyuv on Shabbos. You can either say, it's just the shame malacha. The malacha is not called mochek. The malacha is called mochek almanas lichtov. It's the definition of the malacha. You can't ask kashas. It's the definition of the malacha. The malacha of kosev is kosev, shtei osios. The malacha of mochek is mochek almanas lichtov, shtei osios. That's the definition of the malacha. You can't ask anything. Or you can say, no. It's part of this bigger rule in Hilchos Shabbos. The rule of Hilchos Shabbos is that if you do something destructive, it's not a malacha. So if you're stam erasing, you know what erasing is? Generally, it's destructive. If you take a Sefer Torah out and you start erasing things, you're destroying it, you're ruining it. Oh, but what if you erase in order to make nicer letters? Or in order to write, so I walk into a classroom in the morning to give shiur, and there's notes from the math work from the teacher yesterday afternoon on the board. So when I erase the board, what am I doing? I'm doing it so that I could write some Torah notes on the board. So it's mochek almanas lichtov. So now my mochek has become purposeful, has become constructive. So it's no longer mekalkel. So very important chakira, something to think about. When we say mochik al menas lichtov, you need to be al menas lichtov to be chayiv for mochik. And when it's not al menas lichtov, you're not chayiv. Again, two ways to understand it. Either, just push it, that's the rule, that's the din. It's the nature of the malacha. The shame malacha is mochik al menas lichtov. Or no, it's part of the general din of mekalkel. The only way to be sure that you're not being mekalkel is when you're being mochik al menas lichtov. Case number two in the Gemara. Case number one again was you wrote with black over red, you're chayiv for mochik and you're chayiv for kosev. Case number two. Dio al gabe dio. Sikra al gabe sikra. Same thing. You write with black on black or you write with red on red. Pater, it's not kosev and it's not mochik. Why is it not mochik? Because the color that was written there before is still written there. Why is it not kosev? Because you didn't create any new letters. The same red that was there before is there now. The same black that was there before is there now. In Mitzius, you added a layer. You added a layer of ink. But it looks the same. So Potter, on both counts. Here's where it gets tricky. Sikral gabi dio. What if you do red over black? So then what? Amri lo chayiv, amri lo Potter. Machlokas. Amri l'chayiv mochekhu. Shita says Yechayiv says it's mochek. It's mochek. Red on black is mochek. You erase the black. V'amri l'pater mekalkelu. The other one says, yeah, it's mochek, but it's mekalkel. It's a destructive mechika. Because you erase the black, but look what you have now. You have red. Red is weaker than black. So you have something that's weaker than was there before. So it's mekalkel. So you didn't violate mochek. Notice what no one even entertains for a second. There's another malacha that no one even entertains. Kosev. Why is it not kosev? It's not even brought up as an issue. And it's kavah chomer. If black on black isn't kosev because you didn't do anything different, red on black shouldn't be kosev because you made it worse in terms of the ksiva. Before it was a strong ksav, now it's a weak ksav. You can call that kosev. When I take a strong ksav and I turn it weaker? I could have argued logically, though, that maybe before it was the same ksav. Over here, it's a different ksav. It may be weaker, but it's a different ksav. The black ksav isn't there anymore. Now it's a red ksav. And therefore, maybe it should be kosev. But the Gemara assumes like you. The Gemara assumes that it can't be kosev. But we have machlokas, is it mochek? And what's the nekudas ha-machlokas? All the Gemara tells us that one shita holds this is called mekalkel, the other shita says it's not called mekalkel. Why is it mekalkel? That's the easier one. Why is it mekalkel? Because it's less good than it was. Before it was black, now it's red. So that's destructive. Why wouldn't it be mekalkel? The shita that says yechayiv says, no, it's not mekalkel. This is constructive. This is not mekalkel. Why? Why is it not mekalkel? Take a look at Rashi. Mekalkel hu v'havale kimochek al menas shelo lichtov. It's like mochek without condition to write. Because you didn't do a ksiva. You put red on and there was black, so it's not kosev, so it's shelo al menas lichtov. What about the sheet that says that yechayiv, ulemande mechayiv, lo ava mekalkel kol kach shariksovo nikar. What's he saying? Love mekalkel kol kach shorik sava nikur. Why isn't this mekalkel? What? You still see it? Yeah, you still recognize it. It's not so destructive. Rashi's saying something big here. Net, did you gain or lose when you wrote with red over the black? You lost. But that's not mekalkel. Mekalkel doesn't mean that you went backwards. Mekalkel doesn't mean that you have something less good than you had before. What does mekalkel mean, according to Rashi? That you're completely destructive. Utterly destructive. If it's not utterly destructive, it's not mekalkel. Good? That's what it sounds like from Rashi. Again, within the sheet in the Gemara that holds that it's not mekalkel. What will the sheet in the Gemara that says that it is mekalkel hold? And it doesn't have to be utterly destructive to be mekalkel. You just have to take a step back as opposed to a step forward. Tosfos, bottom Tosfos. Skip the first line of it. It's only a line and a half, but skip the first line. Last line on the page in Tosfos. Umekalkel lohavi, and it's not a mekalkel, dalak siva zos take siva el yona, rishuma nikr tfe, mishim haisa tachtona levada. Reason it's not mekalkel is, you had black, you wrote with red over it, right? That's not mekalkel because if you ever want to write with black over that again, it's now going to be a much stronger, deeper black because of the red that's there. So by putting the red there, you've actually set it up to be a better writing than it ever could have been without the red there. Right now it's not because the red's there. But when you go over this with black, it's going to be really strong. So that's why it's not mekalkel. How does Tosfos define mekalkel? It says again, why is it not mekalkel? Because, what's Tosfos saying? You didn't totally destroy it, you didn't take any steps back, or it's not mekalkel because you've taken a step forward. Tosfos seems to say because you've taken a step forward. That's why it's not mekalkel. Sounds like, had you gone backwards at all, had you had a net loss at all, that would be mekalkel. The reason this isn't mekalkel is because you took a step forward over here. You actually improved this. It doesn't look improved right now, but you're setting this up for improvement. That's how Tosfos explains the Shita, that it's not mekalkel, because you've actually improved it. How would Tosfos explain the day in the Gemara that it is mekalkel? How's it mekalkel? You improved it. How could that be called mekalkel? Oh, so one possibility is, right now you didn't improve it. Right now it's worse than it was before. So right now it's destructive. But wait a second, doesn't that fly in the face of the whole definition of mochek, of the definition of lach mochek? Mochek is mochek al menas lichtov, which means right now I lost letters. Right, I've taken a step back, but it's going to yield good results in the future. Maybe that's different. Maybe by losing letters, now the world is open to possibilities because it's a blank paper. When you're looking for a piece of paper and you find one with writing, is that better or worse than finding a blank piece of paper? It's worse. You always want a blank piece of paper. So maybe, mochek al menas lichtov, right now you've done something positive because you've made something that is a world of possibilities open to you. You can write whatever you want on the paper now. But over here, you didn't do that because there's writing there and you just wrote with red on top of it. So yeah, long run, the words that are already here may become stronger words if I decide. But I don't look in that far in the future. Right now, I ruined it. Right now, I made it worse. Right now, I took a step back. So Tosfos might explain that the reason that the shita that holds that it is mekalkel will say, yeah, long run, this may turn out to be an improvement because if I write with black over it, it's going to last longer. But right now, it's worse. He might say like that. Any other possibilities of why maybe this might be mekalkel even though it's going to become better when I write in the future? So again, we have to define what mekalkel means. There are a couple of possible ways to define mekalkel. Three possible ways. We only mentioned two so far. When we were talking about Rashi, we talked about two ways to define mekalkel, right? One way to define mekalkel is completely destructive. You ruined everything. Another way to define mekalkel is it took a step back. There might be a third way to define mekalkel, and that is that you weren't sakein. And mekalkel is you didn't do a tikkun. It's not that there's a patur mekalkel, it's that there's no chiyuv when you weren't misakein. Because to be chay from melach on Shabbos needs to be melach machshavas. Melach machshavas is positive. So if the net is a zero, It's not good or bad, it's a net zero. So then it's not a melacha and Shabbos. Aye, but over here, you're setting it up. When you write with black, it's going to be strong. Oh, come on, how much stronger is it going to be? You know, when the net gain is this much, that's called misakin? Nah, it's not misakin, it's a net of zero, and therefore it's mekalkel. Maybe that's the machlokas, the way Tosfos understands the 2 days in the Gemara. When you write with red on top of black, the shita that says you're going to be chayiv will say, because you're being misakein. How are you being misakein? Because when you want to write with black, it's going to be a net positive. Shita that says that it's mechalkel says net positive. Give me a break. How much of a net positive is that? That you might write with black and it's going to be a tiny drop stronger. If you didn't have the red here, it would be black on black. It would be plenty strong anyway. So it's a net of zero. And therefore, it's mechalkel. Because mechalkel is a misnomer. It's not mesaking. If it's not mesaking, by definition, it's mechalkel. Yeah.
Why isn't Rashi learn like those words? That it gets stronger, that's the reason why it should be the iser of.
Maybe because Rashi's telling me a bigger chiddush. That mekalkel is only, the patur of mekalkel is only if it's completely destroyed. And Rashi teaches me a bigger chiddush. To say that if you go backwards, it's mekalkel. And that it's only not mekalkel if you go forward, if you do something positive. Okay. Rash says, no, I don't think that's true. I think if you go take a step backwards, it could still be mesaking. It's only mekalkel if you completely destroy something. Or at least that's the way he explains the machlokas in the Gemara. So again, what are they arguing out? What are the 2 days in the Gemara arguing about within Shitas Rashi? They're arguing whether mekalkel is complete destruction or just a step backwards. According to Tosfos, they might be arguing whether mekalkel is just not being positive or mekalkel means being negative. They might be arguing whether this is a positive or not. And what's this issue totally on? What the definition of mekalkel is? Whether it has to be completely destructive, partially destructive, that even a zero sum is mekalkel. So we said before, that in order to be chayav for Shabbos, you melachas machshavas, right? And we spoke about mochek al menas luchto. That in order to be chayav for mochek, it needs to be al menas luchto. It needs to be with the intention of writing. And I said two possibilities: what the nature of mochek al menas luchto is. Is mochek al menas luchto that just the shem melacha? It's only called mochek when I'm going to write. What if there's let's say I erase and I'm not going to be able to write, but by erasing I was constructive in some other way. Am I chayiv? So if mochik al menas lichtov is the din neshem melacha, that it's called mochik al menas lichtov. That's the melacha. That's it. That's the shem melacha. Well, if I was constructive in some other way, but I'm not able to write now, then it's not a melacha. But if you hold that, no, mochek al menas lichtov is just a fancy way of saying that when you violate mochek, it has to be productive. The most common way for it to be productive is that it's al menas lichtov. But it's not a din in being al menas lichtov, it's a din in being productive. So then it wouldn't matter whether it's al menas lichtov or not al menas lichtov. What matters is, was I productive at the end of the day? And if I was productive, then that would be good enough. So, Another nafkamina in this chakira would be: is mochik al menas lichtov a fancy way of saying, would it follow the gedarim of mekalka? Or maybe mochik al menas lichtov has its own rules. Meaning, if the reason I need mochik al menas lichtov is because it's not a melachas machsheves, if I'm not al menas lichtov. So then it would turn out that mochik al menas lichtov has to follow the gedarim of mekalkel. That whatever is mekalkel would be called lo al menas lichtov. It would be no good. It would not be called mochik. But if it's just, that's just the shem melacha, it has to be al menas lichtov. So it could be that the definition of al menas lichtov and the definition of mekalkel don't match. That they're different gedarim, different definitions. During Rabbi Cohen's Musar, even before that, there's another factor over here. The shita that says that you chayev for mochik when you write with red over black, right? That it's not mekalkel, you chayev for mochik. So we discussed how Rashi understands the machlokas, whether it's mekalkel or not mekalkel. Tosfos understands the machlokas, whether it's mekalkel or not mekalkel. What about the fact that when you write with red over black, it's not mochik al menas lichtov? No? when you wrote with black over red, was it al menas lichtov? We said that is mochir al menas lichtov, because it's better than al menas lichtov. While you're erasing the red, you're actually writing black, and you're doing kosev. But over here, when you're writing with red over black, we said you're not chayiv for kosev. The red isn't called kosev. So where's the mochik al menas lichtov? What happened to mochik al menas lichtov? So Tosus asked this kasha, and we already know what Tosus is going to answer, because Tosus, when he spoke about putting red on top of black, thought that the story wasn't over yet. What did Tosus assume? You put red on black, you're not done yet. Why were you productive when you put red on black? Because you're going to put black on again also. And therefore, when you put red on black, it's mochek al menas lichtov, because you're planning on putting black on later. That's what Tosus writes. Again, there are two issues in our Gemara. Why is mochek not al menas lichtov? Why is it considered al menas lichtov? And B, why isn't it mekalkel? How could you be chayiv for this mochik? But that, when we say, how could you be chayiv, you're asking two questions. How is it almanas lichtov? And how isn't it mekalkel? Tosfos says both of those questions have the same answer. You're planning on putting more black on later. And therefore, it is almanas lichtov when you put that black on. And it's not mekalkel, because when you put that black on, it's going to be stronger because of this red that's here. What about Rashi? Rashi said, Rashi doesn't know about putting black on later. He's not thinking about the future. When you put red over black, pashtus, Rashi says, why is it not mekalkel? Because he didn't completely ruin it. Aye, but why isn't it mochek al menas lichtov? Why is it mochek al menas lichtov? How could you call this al menas lichtov? There's no black you're putting on later. So how's this al menas lichtov? But that red letter isn't kosev. You didn't violate ksiva by putting that letter on. Don't give up. Fight me. Because Rishonim say like you. Tosfos HaRosh say, you didn't violate the malacha of kosev when you wrote the red letter. But you know what's there? There's a ksiva there. There's a red ksiva there. Why didn't you violate the malach of kosev when you wrote the letter? Because you downgraded the totsa'a. The result of the malacha is a downgraded letter. No. Let's leave Marasayna. It's just like, the totsa'a, the result of the malacha, is that you have a lesser letter than you had before. So you weren't kosev. I mean, kosev is when I made a new letter. But what did I do? I downgraded a letter. So that can't be kosev when you downgrade a letter, when you partially erase a letter. You know, that can't be kosev. But is there ksav there right now? Is there red ksav? There is red ksav. To fit the bill of being mochik almanas lichtov, it doesn't mean mochik almanas to do the malacha of kosev. It means mochik almanas to have ksav placed there. So I have ksav there. Malacha of kosev? Nah, I didn't do that. Because a malacha needs to be a malacha smachsheves. It needs to be something positive, constructive. But ksav is just a metzias. It just is what it is. It's ksav. So that's how Tosfos HaRosh understood. Maybe there's something else over here, though. Again, Rashi says, so I don't get confused, Rashi says, why is it not mekalkel? Because you didn't completely ruin it. Aye, but it's not mochek al menas lichtov, so how could you be chayiv anyway? It's not mochek al menas lichtov, so what did I tell you before? Is there a rule called mochek al menas lichtov, or is mochek al menas lichtov just a fancy way of saying that you weren't mekalkel? Maybe Rashi understands that mochek al menas lichtov is not a separate rule. You don't need to be mochik al menas lichtov. You know what you need in order to be chayiv? That you're not mekalkel. That you didn't destroy something. And Rashi already explained why you didn't destroy it. Why didn't you destroy it? Rishumo nikur. You still see it. So it's not destroyed. As long as it's not destroyed, it wasn't mekalkel. If it wasn't mekalkel, then it doesn't actually have to be Almanas Lichtov later. It wasn't a destructive erasing. The reason we call it Mochek Almanas Lichtov is because normally when you erase something, you're being destructive. So we say, how could it be? What's the Echitimtza that you're erasing something and you're being productive? Where it's Almanas Lichtov. But there's another Echitimtza where you erase something and it wasn't destructive because it's Rishum HaNikar, it's still there. So you aren't destructive. There's no separate din called Mochik al Manas Lichtov. So it could be this Chakira. Is there a din of Mochik al Manas Lichtov? Or is Mochik al Manas Lichtov just a fancy way of saying that you have to be Mochik in a productive and not destructive way? It's Machlok, it's Rashi and Tosos. The Rashi says it's all one and the same. It's the same din. It's just a fancy way of saying that you can't be destructive if you want to be Chayiv for Mochik. And Tosfos say, no, these are two separate Kedarim. There's Mochik al Manas Lichtov, you have to actually be able to be Kosev. Plus, it has to be productive. It can't be Mekalka. That could be the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Now, we said in Rashi, Mekalkel doesn't mean, the Patur of Mekalkel doesn't mean that you were unproductive. The Patur of Mekalkel doesn't mean that you were unproductive. The Patur of Mekalkel is only, according to Rashi, according to at least the way Rashi understood the day in the Gemara that holds that, that you're chayiv over here, the Patur of Mekalkel is, you were completely destructive. Right? That's what we said in Rashi. That's how Rashi said. Why would that be the case? That you only have Patur Mekalkel when you're completely destructive. What did I say Mekalkel is part of? It's part of this broad category called Melechas Machshavas. In order to be Chayav from Melech on Shabbos, you need to be purposely constructive. So when you take a step back, Rashi would say that's purposely constructive. You ruined it partially, just not entirely. That's called purposely constructive. It's very hard. Meaning we should realize that's a difficulty in Rashi. That Rashi is going to say that it's called Melechas Machshavas when you partially ruin something, because you haven't completely ruined it. That's very difficult. I don't think I have a good explanation for why that should be the case. Meaning there are two ways to look at Mekalkel. Either Mekalkel is, like I said before, Mekalkel is a special patur. A malacha is a malacha. You do the malacha, that's a malacha. Alamai, there's a special patur called Mekalkel. That when you're destructive, it loses its shem malach. It's so far from a productive activity that it loses its shem malach. Or you say, no, a malach is, part of the definition of malach is a constructive activity. And therefore, whenever you're even a little bit destructive, it wasn't a constructive activity. It's, I guess what I'm saying is like this. There are a lot of rules that govern malachas machshavas. Davershen Miskave. Right? What are we passing? You do Malach in the Davershen Miskave in a way on Shabbos. Mutter. Rabbi Shimon. Mutter. 100% Mutter, right? Unless it's Psychration. It's Mutter. Malach Shein Srichel Gufa. Also a Malach Shabbos issue. And yet, what do we say over there? We don't say Mutter. We say Pater. Pater Avalasim in the Rabban. But if they're both a chesar and a melechas machshavas, if they're both about melechas machshavas, why is one mutter and the other one patel lasmid rabbanan? Why can't the rabbis just be consistent? And it's the same rabbi, it's Rabbi Shimon, in both places. Why can't we?
It's similar to in general melechas machshavas, where, like, the Yisra race is to write two letters, but isn't there an Yisra rabbanan to write one letter, so doing half of something, so it's a lesser of the infringement of the melechah, but it's still a rabbanan.
Meaning, Melechus Machsheves is not an all or nothing proposition. Right? There's very purposeful and then there's degradations. So when you did it in Melechus Yitzchik Lagufa, you've done less of a Melechus Machsheves, but when you did the Rashayna Meskavin, it's even less of a Melechus Machsheves. So it could be that Rashi's understanding of the Shita that holds Chayiv in our Gemara is that Mekalkel, when you are destructive, it's not such a hit on Melechus Machsheves unless it's completely destructive. It doesn't really knock down your Melechus Machsheves. Melechus Machsheves, Melacha means Melacha. To take away Melechus Machsheves, to take a Melacha that's in one of the 39 categories and make it lose its status of Melechus Machsheves, it needs to be completely destructive. And the other Shita would say, Tosfos would say, no. Any malacha, the definition of the word malacha means productivity. It does not mean that it's a malacha because it's a malacha, and then elamai have a patur makalka. The definition of the word malacha means that I'm being productive in one of these 39 ways. And so long as I'm not being productive, even if I'm not being destructive perhaps, even if it's an end, a zero-sum game, if I haven't been productive, I haven't done a malach. So, when all the dust settles, what do we have over here? We have Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, what seems to be Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, two very critical issues in Hilchos Shabbos. One is the definition of Mekalkel. Does Mekalkel mean that I'm utterly destructive, like Rashi, or that I'm just unproductive, like Tosfos? And what it also seems is that we may have a machlokas in what mochik al menas lichtov means. Does mochik al menas lichtov simply mean that I'm erasing so that I could write? Or does mochik al menas lichtov mean that I'm erasing in a somewhat productive way, but it has nothing to do with whether I could actually write on top of that or not? It's just that I'm erasing in a productive way. Okay, I think that's Rashi and Tosfos. So, Be'ezras Hashem tomorrow, we'll go back to the sugya. I mean, there's more to say over here. We'll see more stuff in the sugya right here.